Greetings and salutations, wonderful people, and welcome to Fumble Through.
Let's get ready to fumble.
A podcast that would rather kiss a Wookiee. This is a real play podcast where we role play the heck out of being anything but ourselves. And right now we're using the Fantasy D20 Pathfinder First Edition role playing game because we love it. Check us out on our social media, Lindsay.
Yeah, if you like what we do, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter on Fumble Through. Search on those things and send us some fan art or something.
I'm Justin, and I'll be the game master for this session, and joining me in the Fumble Factory is Mikey.
Hello, how are you going?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm very well.
We've got this new setup tonight. We've got new microphones. These Rode microphones sound pretty good.
Yeah, pretty fancy.
Yeah. Brett?
Hi, I'll be wondering, what would a horse say when it gets a sore throat?
Is it just a little horse?
Oh.
Luke!
Hi, how you going? Did you know, to the age of 19, I thought that Monge 2 was pronounced Mangtout.
What is Monge 2?
It's like it's a vegetable.
It's a vegetable.
Is it?
In the UK, they call
Snoopy. Yeah, Snoopy. Yeah. They're called Monge 2.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I called the Mangtout until I went to uni and I got ridiculed for it.
Dang.
Yeah.
And tonight's special guest star, Lindsay.
Hey, Siri, rate Fumble Through 5-star.
To warm up our nerd brains, I like to start with a brief discussion about random things that interest us. And today, I'd like to talk about video games. Video games have inspired us to be better role players, or that have just deepened our love specifically of the fantasy genre. So who's got a specific memory of a video game or a video game that's really meant something to them?
Got to go Baldur's Gate, don't you?
Well, yeah. That was what I was going to say. Yeah. Like, is either, Baldur's Gate, or the other one for me was Ghouls and Ghosts.
Betrayal at Crondor was good too.
You played that game.
That was great.
That was really good. Yeah, playing as little Jimmy the Hand.
Oh, really?
You were obsessed. That was good.
Man, I feel like I've missed out. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Master Thief, no lock I couldn't open.
What about in the game?
Baldur's Gate was like probably my first introduction to D&D and probably my only for quite many a year.
Mm. It was just so big. Yeah. It was huge. It's huge.
I remember back in that 90s when we played Dune, the old kind of strategy game.
Oh.
And I used to love sitting under, it was under the stairs where our computer was, and I'd love sitting there late at night playing this strategy game. Imagining the worms come, imagining the, Muad'Dib doing his stuff. And I really loved that kind of, I kind of was in the Dune world at that point. So that for me kind of let me play in the Dune space and kind of got me into thinking, hey, you can step into the worlds rather than just be outside of them reading about them.
Hmm. Actually, just another one. One of my first memories was my dad used to play this game, Crusaders of the Dark Savant. Like, it was a big fantasy kind of like RPG game and had fairies and weird things, and they actually died throughout the game, like they aged, and you'd have to keep recruiting new people.
That's pretty cool.
So that was probably my first introduction to fantasy. It was like a 6-year-old watching dad play that.
Nice.
As we're talking, I've got a memory of another fantasy game that I played a lot, but it was bitterly disappointing. Leisure Suit Larry. Leisure Suit Larry.
There was always that other one I enjoyed, that battle between two great kingdoms, Pong. Quite like that.
Oh, where you get the movable wall to
It was great. Yeah.
Versus the trebuchet.
I was only in it for the story, to tell the truth.
I would like to take your minds back to the 80s and a Commodore 64 game. Ooh, I remember distinctly going up the street playing this at a friend's house back when you had a cassette, and that cassette load time was the perfect time to get out your wooden swords and your broomsticks and smash each other in the face.
Yes.
Do you remember a game called Barbarian? It was the very first game that you could decapitate people and you could cut their arms off. No, it was a first person versus game.
Oh, what?
The cover of the game is actually a Conan the Barbarian type guy with a woman scantily clad at his feet. He's holding a sword. They're in like this pit, and there was a finishing move where you could flick around and you could chop the other person's head off and then pick it up. And it was the first time in any game I was like, oh, this is brutal.
It was like the first Mortal Kombat.
Nice.
Yeah.
For those playing at home, a cassette used to hold.
Now, Lindsay, are you with us still?
Just a special mention there to Golden Axe, because I think that was
absolutely great game. Or even Gauntlet.
Yeah.
Gauntlet. The amount of money I spent at the fish and chip shop playing Gauntlet.
That was another Commodore 64 game as well, wasn't it? Gauntlet. That was great. Yeah. It's like, you know, there were so many good games back in these days.
Really
Alien
was.
Breed was another one of my favorites.
Good game.
Yeah, video games are the one thing that I, millennial, will still be able to get all your stuff. I do a lot of retro.
Who's the millennial? Haven't we? Oh, you're woke.
I forgot. I'm woke. That's right.
I forgot how woke you are.
8-bit memories?
16-bit memories.
I think I never knew not having a computer as a kid. Like, we had the towers and massive. Like, you know, the big floppy.
I can remember not having electricity, so.
Where we left it last time, we were in a cave of ice. Just a little check around right now, just where your characters are, what you're thinking, what you're doing. So, DeCath, you just landed the killing blow on
this snow
leopard.
I did. I'm fine. I'm completely healthy. No problem whatsoever. We should move on.
I'm also completely healthy, just unconscious.
Oh, really?
Mm. I'm
so useless.
What about you, Flopsy?
Flopsy's quite good, just kneeling down, administering to the little nugget because he was a little hurt, and really in admiration of DeCast's ability to protect us all in this very crucial, crucial moment. Don't understand why Miles and Reg didn't do more.
So, in the cavern stuck in ice, as your breathing slows after defeating the snow leopard, you finally have the time to gather yourselves and take in the space that surrounds you. Eventually, Miles will start to rouse himself after being unconscious for a bit of time. The healing that Reg has received from Flopsy starts to take hold, and your wounds start to knit back together. The natural stone cavern that you entered has changed suddenly about halfway along the chamber. Here it looks like half a room has been inserted into the very walls of the cave. The join between the natural stone and the building, a sharp straight line as if it's been sliced by something. A layer of ice covers the walls and the ornate floor, and it thickens towards the back wall of the room where, totally encased in a block of ice, is the vignette of a reading nook. Beneath a chair, which sits to the left of a window, there's loose papers on top of it. There's parchment that's been totally frozen, sort of sitting on top of this chair. And to the right of the window, there's an ornate podium on which sits a domed cage wrought in gilded finery. The cat was scratching sort of in front of that cage. When you walked in, you know how the cat was scratching against the wall? That's what the cat was scratching towards. And even in front of the cage, you can see a small plaque that's been obscured by the ice. The ice is sort of stopping you from being able to read the words that are there. But inside the cage, you can see a small frozen bird-shaped figure.
As the magic fades, I assume being that was a magical kind of unconsciousness, he kind of like sits bolt upright as it finishes. And it's like, what the hell happened?
You were falling asleep?
I was charging the cat thing, and then suddenly out like a light.
Miles, you missed a punch, so I thought I should just protect us all with a spell, and you weren't very resistant to it. That's all. You might find you're a little bit blind right now.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
It's not dark. That's the spell. It'll wear off in a second. Just hold your... Don't punch.
You shot me with a spell.
No. I shot the creature with a spell. You just happened to be in the vicinity.
Okay.
You survived. I had to, acceptable losses.
Reginald went down. I had to protect us all so I could get in and get him some healing in case the little nugget didn't get back up.
Is he alive?
Reginald?
Reg just kind of slowly, sleepily kind of comes round, like feeling around on his body where the wounds would have been where the attack came. But I have scars if I've been healed, infernal healing, yeah.
What do you think?
I don't know. No.
Do you want scars?
So I want some scars. Yeah, I think that'd be really cool.
The spell will only heal your body, not your clothes.
Oh, so I've got perforated. Fantastic.
You have frostbite scars in the shape of
course. I get my soggy clothes out from my bag that I changed out of, shake them down, stand up, kind of look really forlorn and disappointed and not say much.
I'd say you haven't hit anything this whole campaign yet.
Oh,
shots fired.
I'm going to look at the ice, I think. I'll walk away from this one.
Yeah. The ice is a little bit warmer than the relationship between those
go
two.
Over.
That wasn't an Irish accent. That was Lindsay.
So you're in this cavern. You've got this picture in front of you, this encased ice. What are you thinking? What are you going to do? Like this is really out of the ordinary. It doesn't look like this place belongs. It looks like it's just been cut and pasted in here.
Tap on the ice with a rapier?
Yeah, it's like ice. Mm. It reacts exactly as ice would. You know, you get the little ice chunks that come out of it.
We took a full look around the room. Nothing else?
No.
Okay.
Just imagine like the room, an actual room that's been cut in half and just stuck into a cave. The cave is around the sides of the room. It's like they're fused together.
Is there like, so there's just a cupboard and like the birdcage? Is there any other?
You got a window in the back wall. Like imagine, so essentially the back half of this room is a window. To the left of the window is a chair with some parchment on it. And to the right is a podium with a cage on top of it. All of that is encased in ice.
Can we kind of see the window through the window? If there's another cavern on the other side or anything like
that?
It
is the window.
It is the window.
Is it the arched window? Imagine a window that's been encased in ice. We're talking like a foot thick of ice here. So it's really hard to see through it. Like it's that frosted kind of thing. You can see maybe Brendan Fraser in there, like just frozen in time, and some guy's going to get the juice. Did you get that joke?
Yeah. I got that one.
Encino Man for the young people playing at home.
Oh, I was doing Biodome. Oh.
Flopsy will have been concentrating on making sure Reggie was okay, that Miles was okay, and then check out the cat, and will have been distracted. And as he looks up and kind of realizes where he is and sees the cat over there tapping on the on the ice, he'll get up and go, how very interesting. Hold on, let me have a look. And then he will detect magic around the room.
As you detect magic, the room itself, no magic. The cave itself, not very magical at all. There's a little bit of magic that's emanating from inside the birdcage. That's the only magic that you can see.
There is something quite magical in that birdcage. It's hard to get a bead on that magic from between now here and the ice, but perhaps if we can get through this.
How do we get through the ice?
Start rubbing.
Oh no, my tongue stuck to the ice.
And perhaps the cat could be
Fairline cloak. We were going to skin the cat for warm, like a warm cloak. Well, I'm still wearing wet clothes because I don't have any other spares.
So you want to skin a cat, cure and dry the skin.
No.
Not the second bit, I believe. Yeah. Right. I just want to skin the cat and wear it.
And then wear the soggy, bloody rag. Yep. Okay, cool.
Step
and
inside the cat.
And I thought they smelt bad on the outside.
You know, you just put the fur side down, then the other stuff freezes. Fine.
Do you have any talent in skinning?
We're a bona fide name.
What exactly are you using to skin a cat?
I have a knife.
Well, there is more than one way to do this.
That's correct.
I have a belt knife is all I have.
Yep. So you take your belt knife out. It's more of a butter knife than a belt knife.
Just for cutting. Specifically for cutting belts, this knife.
That would be a 7.
A 7. Yeah, you start mangling the fur. Bits of fur come off in your hands.
Tell me something squirts in his
face. Yeah, it's pretty gross. And you're sitting there, everybody's looking at you, and you just look to everybody else like you're hacking the dead body of a cat. Just sitting there. Are you saying anything while you're doing it?
I think this part goes here, and then I think this thing gets attached to here.
Okay.
Nothing else. I can cut off its tail and wear it like a scarf, right?
I don't think Miles is a cat person.
The leg bones connect to the medium.
The tailbone. What's everybody else doing?
Now, we had a fire, didn't we?
The fire was out in the cave.
So you go and get a firebrand to bring back in and try and...
Okay. So you crawl through the tunnel, you go get your firebrand, you come back in here.
Yeah.
Easily done.
Yeah. And then I stand there with the fire close to the ice and go, no, what the flopsy? I have the fire.
You stand.
Right.
Does anyone have any magical way of creating fire?
I don't know.
I do.
Okay.
We got a scroll of burning hands.
All right. So the scroll of burning hands, you think, just give me a spellcraft check.
That is excellent. 16.
Oh, dang.
What were those noises?
We only saw one digit.
I just heard Yoda somewhere.
Look, no hands.
We can only see one digit on the dice and was like, oh, that doesn't look good.
Well, I rolled 16. An 8 and I got a 16.
That's so impressive.
You rolled an 8, got a 16. With that spellcraft, you think that the effects of a burning hand spell might take out a section of this? So you could probably melt around the window or around the cage or around the chair. You don't think you can get the entire wall. you think that maybe those of you that are probably a little more martial in characters think that if you wanted to, you could probably chip at the ice. Your fire is melting the ice very slowly. You think it'll take a day or two to get through one small tiny section of that, but you'll probably end up not having a firebrand by the time. You think the firebrand will burn out before
the ice. Was there outside before we came into the cave, like wood or kindling and things like that?
Yeah, there's a forest outside. So definitely you could build a fire in here and warm it up. But again, that's going to take a long time to do. Your fastest ways are either chipping through the ice or using spell.
Reg is thinking more to just keep us warm and dry out stuff that's wet, because now I only have one set of good clothing.
Does Flopsy think acid might be able to get through this ice?
Let's get your chemistry on. Yeah,
say, come on, chemistry.
I'm flashing back to high school chemistry. Don't remember doing that.
I was doing acid in high school chemistry. Alkaline. That's why I don't know the answer to that question.
I have acid splash as an orison and can just splash the crap out of it.
Probably not. No. Okay. Let's think more just traditional.
All right, let's go build a fire. I'm not going across that bridge. I'm not crossing that bridge out there again. That was bloody dangerous. I saw what Miles did.
Oh, yeah, there's a bridge, isn't there?
Yeah. Any kindling around here? Anything to...
Look, you're looking at this and you kind of assess it. Looking at the tools you've got, you can either use that scroll or you could probably get through with a bit of physicality. Like, they're really your only options here.
Right. Dagger in one hand, start to chip.
Yep.
What did you say? The bird is magical?
Yes, I believe there's one bird over here in our hand and two in that thing in the bush. I mean, yes, there's a magical aura emanating from that cage.
I'll start to chip at the cage.
Remember, Reginald, when we grew up in Padaskar and there were all the training camps or all the different monasteries and the people would be learning how to punch and kick and all that stupidity, I would see them bring out bolts of ice and try and punch through them.
Yeah, but you mean the camps that I wasn't allowed in, sure. Right? Right.
Well, you were there for a while.
Right, sure.
Show me how they did that.
The thing that you weren't taught, obviously.
I think I could do that. I think I could do that. Let's give it a go. I reckon you could do that. I watched that enough times.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Okay.
So you're going to try and punch through the ice? I've got a great image of this, like some kung fu master just boosh.
Like something like Karate Kid with these panels of ice just lined up. Okay. Kind of so, okay, let's do it. Yeah, sure.
All right. So you actually just start smashing away at the ice.
So actually, he's not going to flurry. So what he's going to do is just going to kind of focus his... because he hasn't got that yet. No. He's just going to focus his mind and he's just going to go one controlled strike to the ice.
It's going to take more than... So you're attempting to smash this with one
I'm starting with one to see how we go.
So you're just... So you are literally just going to start like just training on the ice.
So what I'll do is, first of all, I'll wrap some things around my knuckles. So obviously not split them on
there's
the
some
ice.
Scraps of cat here.
Yeah. Some fur.
The cat fur.
Yeah, pat them out a little bit.
Use his cat liver.
Yeah, and then just like kind of form a stance, like a powerful stance, and then just at the right range, and then just whack.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, which section are you going to do? You're going to do the chair section, the window section, or the bird cage section? Because Decat's pulled out his knife.
I'm happy for you to go for the bird cage.
Are you on the bird cage, or are you?
Yeah, but that's the only place we saw magic. So, if you're going to do it here.
So, I'll do it just off from where the knife's been going in, because that's going to have made it all raggedy, jagged, and uncomfortable to punch. Okay. So, yeah.
And you just start cartering against the ice.
Yeah, just like persistently just one, two. Like
in Kill Bill.
Exactly where I was going with that.
Do you put a headband on before you do that?
Only of my eyes, yeah.
Nice.
You're the best. No doubt.
What's your average damage, Reg?
Oh, yeah, 1d4 plus 1.
1d4 plus 1. So you guys just, do you help at all, Decath, or do you stand back seeing Reg approach the ice?
I'm happy to watch this.
All right. So you guys are standing there.
Miles, you punch things.
Yeah.
See how he's punching.
Miles would probably try and follow the carter along next to him.
Oh, this is a Karate Kid moment, isn't it?
Is it like this, Mr. Reggie? No. You need to move your feet in a little bit like this. And I just described the stance. You get him to kind of pull in the mid-drift, engage the core, and then demonstrate to Miles.
You're a cream puff, Reggie.
I couldn't help it.
Put him in a body bag.
So the two of you begin your training session.
I would like to say that Miles' damage is plus 3.
On what? A d6?
On a 1d4.
Oh, okay.
That's punching sounds.
That was really good miming for a podcast.
I made noises.
Could you, at least the first two, you shake your hands and they really hurt.
It did. It was all mimed for everyone to listen to.
I thought putting the hole in the wall was a bit excessive. Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah.
Just going to remove
we'll decorate in this room anyway.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think it was necessary to snap the neck of the dog.
We just need some Eye of the Tiger playing and I think we're pretty much done here.
Yeah. The Eye of the Tiger's over there.
Montage, go.
Yeah, so some time goes by. It takes probably about 20 minutes for you guys to punch through this, but you're doing significant amounts of damage. You are actually working through that section. The only problem with punching through ice like this is that there is a chance that you might damage the area beyond. So if you can just roll me a percentile dice, just to see if you damage the cage. It's quite a fancy looking cage.
62. Red,
62?
80.
And 80.
Mm.
Both of you kind of avoid all the areas that you need to avoid. As the ice crumbles away from the plaque that's in front of the cage itself, you can see written in an older script in common is the words there that say, Beldren's prize.
Beldren? Does anyone know what Beldren? Any Beldrens? Any thoughts of Beldrens? I've never heard of a Beldren before.
Knowledge history on Beldren? That's a 13.
13. No, the name does not ring a bell to you at all. Or a Beldren.
Never heard of it.
Thank you. I'll be here in a week. Flew into the gig. Boy, my arm's tight. Oh, I can't even say it. Couldn't even get through it myself.
That's what you get.
Yeah. All right. So does anybody here have the appraise skill?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Yes.
The both of you with the appraise skill, that's ironic. The man with nothing has the appraise skill.
He knows what stuff costs. Yeah. He just can't afford it.
Yeah. I just know I don't want it.
He has to judge how much cows cost the market, you know.
So those of you with the appraise skill, you can look at this cage and just make a check for me, please. Flopsy?
25.
Miles.
That's a fancy cage. 10.
The gold cage that you see in front of you, Flopsy, you are convinced that this thing, gem encrusted as it is, made of gilded gold, it's actually worth a fair bit of money. Miles, you think it's all fake.
This cage will put us through the university of... It's worth quite the bit.
Yeah.
So buy you many turnips at home.
To the tune of about 150 GP.
No, it's all just colored glass.
Correct. I'll just keep it for keepsake then, shall I?
Miles, as you punch through that last bit of the cage, the ice sort of crashes around from the inside and it falls through the exit of the cage, revealing inside the cage, sitting on a perch swing, a tiny bird-shaped creature. Unusually, the bird itself is not made from flesh and bone, but rather constructed from a series of gears and sprockets, complete with fabricated lightweight metal feathers. As the ice is removed, the bird begins to kind of come to life and twitch and move, looking around and squeaking, clearly in need of some oil. Its gaze fixes on you, and it opens its beak and it says,
Beldren, you have come to...
And it kind of stops at that moment. It's racked with convulsions. It just starts shaking. You see all its feathers moving, looking confused. It kind of flaps up and tries to get out of the cage. Are you going to open the cage to let it out?
Yeah, I'd open up again.
Okay. You open the cage to let it out and it flies around the room. You can kind of see it like, you know, it gets to a point where it stops and convulses again, falls a bit, catches itself mid-flight, flies around, stretching itself and then lands upon your shoulder and it kind of stops there and you can see it shaking around, clearly confused for what it is, even though it's not a flesh and blood creature, and it says, Master. And then it's good to be back. And it just freezes.
Miles, do not move.
Where?
Decath would lower his pistol at the creature.
Okay.
Reggie pulls out a shuriken.
I think it's fine. I think it's a little
Flopsy gets his colour spray ready.
Hello, little fella. And kind of like taps on it, metal.
I don't think the bird's worried.
As you
can't skin that thing.
As you tap on the bird, you touch it and it comes to life again. You get a little zap in your finger as you actually make contact with skin to metal. there's a little electricity that comes between you. You've got a bird that's just sitting on your shoulder. It's frozen. You kind of, every time you touch it, it kind of comes back to life, but it really just looks like it's sitting there perched as it was inside the cage, and it's just in its comfortable place.
I think I've made a little friend. Does anyone know what this thing is? It looks like a bird, but it's all made of metal and weird spinning things.
Reggie's concerned that everybody seems rather calm at the fact that we've got a mechanical bird flying around that looks a little bit...
No, I've still got my pistol pointed
at it. I'm now like, Flopsy, is this something we need to worry about?
Seems like it's not pooed on the little boy yet. We'll be fine. That seems to have found a comfortable spot on his shoulder. I don't know what it is. It seems magical and a little bit mechanical.
And as Miles turns around, you see an oil patch just down the back of his shirt.
Flopsy will detect magic and make sure it was the bird that was pinging off the...
Yeah, the bird radiates a small amount of magic. You think maybe the thing that's keeping this thing alive, that's making the metal move, like it was, for all intents and purposes, it actually looks like a real bird. It actually is something that is not... the construct that it is. It gives you the impression of a real bird.
I'm going to call you Tippy. He's my little friend. I'm going to just leave him there for a bit. Well, he's, you know, hasn't tried to kill me yet, so he's better than some of the people I've met this week.
True.
Stop looking at me, boy.
including a party member.
Hey, sleep's not kill. It's different.
It was consciousness.
So, exactly, only sleeping next to the live leopard.
That's fine.
You've uncovered a section of the ice that's kind of got a hole in it. There's still the window and the chair with the parchments on it.
I would like to read those pieces of paper.
Yeah, they might have something about little Tippy here and we might learn something.
Yes, that would be boring, but there might be something interesting on them too.
What if I try and touch the bird?
If you poke the bird,
mm-hmm.
So if Decath actually... You actually
put your hand out. You're walk up and get
it gives like a normal creature would. It kind of moves for that moment and then it just goes straight back and it almost freezes in place, perched on his, but you don't get a zap. Right. It doesn't nuzzle you the way it did with Miles.
So just to be clear, you're not poking it with the barrel of the gun, are you?
No.
No, because the zap, it is a flint, it's gum. Yeah, okay, we didn't want to have that.
He's using that big log that he rammed in the crevasse last week.
I'm using a rapier.
Yeah. I would really like to read those parchments over there. If you could, please.
Sure thing, Flopsy.
Retrieve them for me. I think there might be something interesting, something about this Beldron that might be useful.
Righto, Mr. Flopsy, sir. Come on, Tippy, let's go.
Leave no parchment unread.
So feeling a bit more confident with the ice now, I'll start to flurry.
Oh, okay. Ooh. So you start actually stepping it up a little bit. And even as you're watching, Miles
is like, I can't go that fast, sir, Mr. Reggie.
Don't you worry, boy, I got this.
Okay, and you see Reggie almost just like a
machine gun
style. Picking through ice. It actually takes you quite a lot less time to get through the this bit and eventually get to a point where the ice cracks into bigger chunks and you can kind of just pull them off the chair, leaving the parchments that are sitting there.
While they're punching away, Flopsy and Decath are watching, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to kind of have a little chat to, while we're watching, standing next to Decath, not making much of it, just go, so Decath, Elvish, hey? Quite handy with that rapier I saw against the cat. What? How did you come by your skills?
Dedication and natural ability.
Yes, but did you get trained or?
But of course.
Is there a big Elvish training camp in where you're from? Tell me.
With that, I would stand up and would... give a flourish, I would say, let me introduce myself properly, my friend. I am Decath Perbella, Knight of the Order of the Flying.
That's quite
flash down, come back up.
Hurrah!
I come from a very wealthy and privileged family. I studied at the best schools with the greatest teachers. But it was not enough for me. I must be famous, must be rich and famous on my own back.
Oh, well, you absolutely have the aptitude to get... the adoration of many, many people. I can see by your ability with that rapier that many people must have flocked to your side to see you wield it in the Elvish lands.
Not yet. This is my first time away from
home. So your reason to leave then, if you were quite comfortable in the Elvish lands, why did you leave?
To become famous.
Oh, and you could not do that?
Not studying in school, no. I wish to be a great hero.
While these guys are having this conversation, I guess you guys can hear this quite clearly, and you might be distracted by the first time we've really heard a bit of the background of Decath and what's brought him along. You know, he was a caravan guard from all you know, and now we're finding out that there's a lot more depth to this than you thought. But you get to a point where the ice itself just crunches into bigger blocks that you can just remove and pull out. The couch itself isn't in good repair at all, but the parchments, they seem to be intact, though the writing on top of them is a little smudged and it's not really in its pure form. You can't read every word that's on there. What are you going to do with the parchments?
I kind of gently pick them up and pass them to Flopsy. Oh, I'll see it there. Am I confident enough that like, they'll not disintegrate in my hands?
Yeah, they're... Parchment's fairly solid. So like paper's probably a lot more flimsy than parchment. Parchment's made a little bit sturdier. Okay. It's the writing on top of it that's probably perished a little bit more than or run as well, more than anything else.
Okay, so yeah, so I'll pull take them off and take them over to Flopsy.
Oh, you ripped it off.
Okay, there we go. Easy come, easy go.
Oh. Be careful, short stuff. That's valuable and you've got numb fingers from the cold. I'll take them quick, gently. So yeah, so
Reg will freeze. Not literally, but yeah, but like to stop and then...
And Flopsy will very gently, caressingly take those parchments from his hand and give the little guy a wink and head off into a place where the light's bright enough to read.
Flopsy, sir, do we need to keep digging out this window as well or...
I don't know that there's any other way out.
Breaker, I sue!
yes, sir, Lord Knight.
What happened then?
Miss Miyagi took over for a second, haven't I?
Who was that character that dropped in?
Show me how to do those fast punches corner. Again.
You stay focus.
Tippy?
Tippy's a clockwork.
Oh, you're nice. I like it.
That would be brilliant.
Hurrah.
That
would be brilliant. Cuckoo.
Swipe the legs, Miles. He became Mario then. I don't know what
you
happened.
Put your hand in a pooper.
It's like Mickey Rooney in any Elvis movie.
What, Elvis in any movie?
For a second there, when you said Mickey Rooney, I envisaged Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, I did.
I'm like, what? I don't understand.
Yeah, Iron Man.
He's got those whips.
That would have made that movie so much better. Do you have any massage for me?
No. Reginald, we'll have to leave. I don't want to cross that bridge one more time, and I'm sure Miles doesn't want to fall down again either.
No problems, boss. I'll just
need to get out that window.
Show me how to do those fast punches, and he'll go over and start helping.
Yep. Okay. So you two go back to punching the wall, making sure that Reg and Miles are getting through that excavating. So Flopsy's gone into the somewhere light and he's looking at the parchments. What are you doing at the moment, Decath?
Relaxing.
Okay. Just observing.
Yeah.
Okay. So as you start looking at the parchment, it's that same script that is old. You definitely think this is a script out of time. It's from a bygone era. And the ink on the parchments run to a point where you can't read all of it, but you can take out some snippets. And the snippets that you find say, so the first snippet that you see on the first bit of parchments says, dark tapestry access can be gained if, and then you can't make out the words after it.
No, I need to know how to get to the dark.
And then you get another, you know, a bit further on, a couple of paragraphs, you make out the words stone as dark as night. And then, you know, you're kind of flipping through. A couple of parchments later, you can make out the line, stole my key, so I stole his familiar.
Stole my key, so he stole his familiar?
And then just there's a couple of letters in the next sentence that you can make out. This is the last sentence you can make out. The letters... R-A with a capital R, that's a proper noun, and then the Overwatched.
R-A Salvatore, the Overwatched.
Yeah, but R-A is part of a word, so you can get R-A, something, something that you can't make out, and it's fairly long, and then it's got the Overwatched. Like it's the title of someone, the name of somebody, and then their kind of moniker, which is the...
Are you reading these out loud, as you?
Yeah.
Can I make like a knowledge history on anyone with the title of the Overwatched?
You certainly can.
The Rasta? RA?
Could be.
Probably not.
But not the raster?
10.
No, a 10's not enough. Definitely not enough.
Stone Rat as King? Dark as night. Obsidian, perhaps. Just trying to work it out. Flopsy's trying to kind of decipher it out loud as
hearing,
it does.
Hearing brain power kicking in, Miles probably would have stopped punching and started trying to help.
Okay.
Stole my key, so he stole his familiar. Dark tapestry access can... It's hard to make this next bit out. Just confirm for me, Miles, what it says here.
Dark tapestry access can be gained if... Then I can't make out the rest.
Me either. I need to know the next bit.
What is this dark tapestry?
The dark tapestry. Oh, the dark tapestry is held by Yogg-Sothoth, the great overwatcher. He is the watcher who knows all. He's the in-between. The bits in between the stars, boy, where the magic is made.
Did you say the great overwatcher?
No, the watcher.
Right, sorry.
He's known as the watcher, but perhaps the overwatch is... Perhaps, I don't know. It's very close and quite the riddle. He's one of the forgotten gods, perhaps. He's very powerful, like Pharasma, but where she is still in present day, he sits in between and in the darkness. He watches and waits and looks after things like time and space and magic.
He sounds kind of creepy. No offense, sir.
Yes, sometimes people call him the lurker at the threshold, so he could be creepy. He's known as the watcher as well, the key in the gate.
So if he is a forgotten god, how did you come to follow him?
Almost forgotten. There were books in the library. My father worked. He was a cleric. There were books that came in and came out, and one was quite intriguing and talked to this wonderful idea of something in the in-between, something that didn't quite fit and could watch from the outside.
Fascinating.
I think so. Anyway, stone as dark as night. Dark elf, perhaps.
What else is in the ice now still?
In the ice, you've only got the window. So there's the you've uncovered the chair.
You're back at the window, Reg?
Yeah. Reg is smashing at the window. Like I watch a bit of home renovation shows, so right. I use the term vignette because it's a nice little vignette there. So you've got, nice. You know, it's a beautiful picture of a window centrally placed on a wall a little a reading chair so that you can sit in the chair.
Hang
and
on,
get
it's
the
a
light.
Picture of a window.
No, it's a picturesque.
Oh, picturesque. Yeah, right. You know. I thought if I'm heading in to get to a picture, I'm on an actual window.
What I actually said was picture a window.
Right.
Picture a window.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a vignette. So you've got your window there. There's a chair so you can read by the light and you can admire your trophy.
We could, except someone smashing the crap out of it.
Yeah. Now it's all full of ice. So you've punched through the ice. You've gotten to a point where the window is uncovered. Through the other side of the window, you can see the cavern. It just keeps going. So this moment, this vignette, as I like to call it, has been dropped in the middle of a cave. And through the window, it just keeps going back to a natural cavern, except the ice that started here continues a little bit.
Out of curiosity, do we think this bit of house that just appeared here is built here or...
Doesn't appear.
Teleported.
So why would someone build half a room?
I don't know.
And why would they fill it with ice?
I'm just curious because there's all this teleportation stuff going on. And I'm wondering if this could be either something to do with that or if it's something else entirely.
A college prank, perhaps?
Could it be the
Yeti's
home? That
is a very good prank. I moved half the dean's office off to the ice cave up the hill.
Yes. Perhaps the dean had cancelled the house's party, so they moved his house. We did it all the time back in Elfland.
Stupid beta gamma.
Quite industrious to be able to dig out an exact size of the room in a cave like this.
We are magical people.
And then fill it with ice with the dean's favourite bird in the middle of it and his parchment. Yeah.
Many a time on the campus I heard the dean go, Pabela!
You can do it!
Just mixed so many genres together. Yeah, I want to say that movie.
So, you have uncovered the window. It keeps going. What are you guys going to be doing?
Oh, do we need a minute?
Yes, how badly injured are you still, Mr. Reggie, sir?
I'm good to go. Thanks, mate. You said it's a wound. It's a 1 HP per round, you said. Is that right?
For a minute, yeah.
For a minute. Point, so, we've been going for ages, so I should all be good.
It lasts for a minute.
Oh, it lasts for a minute.
We're only first level.
Yeah.
So he's got more than 10 hit points. I'm not happy about this.
10 hit points. No. I'm 10. Yeah.
He's a rugged halfling.
Yeah.
From where you were down to negatives.
Yeah.
Plus 10.
Yeah.
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 You're winning. Well, he'll be three times over.
Well, if you guys are you finished? You want to take down with your pepper, or shall we go on?
Through the hole into the cave.
Mm.
It's a bit unsavory. The crawling and my tail seems to get stuck a lot. Come on, then.
How big's the window?
Enough to get through and climb and get into the cave on the other side.
I make an acrobatics check.
No acrobatics check needed. You can just climb through the window.
We tie a rope to each other.
I'll go first.
Here's the thing, Justin.
Yeah. Window moment.
We climb through the window.
Yep.
We don't know what's next.
That's correct. That's called being an adventurer.
Climb through the window, people.
Come on, Reg. Flopsy.
So, Reg,
you don't go across that bridge again. That was terrible.
Reg will stealthily climb through the window.
Okay. You get to the other side of the window. You see the outside of a house. That's, you know, this is the outer window of that room that's inside. So you can see the facade of the house on the outside. It's of a...
Do I feel like I'm completely tripping out when I see this? Because it's just not what I would expect,
yeah.
Right?
It's an architectural style. I mean, I'm assuming you look back at the window
came
out of.
Yeah,
it's an architectural style that is older. You distinctly think about it. Like for us, it would be Roman architecture, I guess. Ooh. But something out of time that has obviously sat here for a while. And you can see that while there is ice encrusted on the floor and the roof of the natural cave and even the walls of this building, it's certainly not as thick as it was inside, especially around that wall.
Quick search around, make sure there's nothing to be seen around the house. There's no ruby slippers hanging out the bottom.
Good call.
You get to the other side of the house. You've opened the window.
Take in the... surroundings.
Yep. Do you walk around a little bit?
Yeah, I'll move around a little bit. Okay. Yeah.
As you start moving, the ice on the floor here is a little bit slippery, having been here for quite a bit of time. Just make an acrobatics check for me.
Oh, I fall to my death. Right.
Dead.
22.
22. You're easily able to move at half.
It's like 22. Like just nailed it like it's the easiest thing in the world.
It's hard.
Well, if we're playing that game, Decathlon's going to dive through the window. 15.
So DeKath actually climbs through the window.
Oh, yeah.
And you start searching around as well.
No. I just come up in a sweet roll.
Okay.
Like a cat.
Reg, you're outside the window. You're kind of moving around the cabin.
Mm. I've drawn a weapon as well, just to be sure. Obviously, moving around, I've got a camo in my hand.
Okay. Yeah. DeKath, you've gone through the window. Yeah. Yep. And you just get to the other side.
I'm looking ahead.
Okay.
Light.
I know that there is a light source on Flopsy at the moment.
There was a rock
through,
with light on it.
Yeah, through this window, there is no light. So you are actually kind of getting the light through the window that is coming out. Neither of you can see in the dark, can you?
No.
I have dark vision.
Oh, you have dark vision. Okay.
Kick back to my dark elf side.
Oh, okay.
Alternate racial traits. I have purple eyes. I thought that was quite obvious.
Talk about dark elf in when the interrogation of the cat.
It has not come up. It's no need to mention it.
All right. What's everybody else doing?
Miles would follow everyone through.
Okay. And Flopsy?
Flopsy's left inside trying to reach the window, I think. Can't climb out.
Reg could reach it.
Reg has quite the higher acrobatic skill than Flopsy. He could jump up the wall. Flopsy will climb out.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. We got out the window. Wait, are you going back in?
Your bag.
The papers.
Are you going back in? guys, I hate to tell you, you left the fire on inside. So you find yourselves outside of the window. The cavern itself is covered in ice. Just everybody, as you're moving along, just make an acrobatics check for me. We're going to start with probably the least acrobatics of all the characters, Flopsy.
8.
Ooh, the second least acrobatics of a character. I'm going to go with acrobatics. Next least would be, Miles. What's your acrobatic skill?
It's a 1, but with a natural 20, 21.
Another natural 20 on that dice, man.
That is great.
Very suspicious.
Now, I don't know who's got it. I'm going to take a guess here and say I think Reg is next. I think DeKath is the most acrobatic out of all of you.
So do you want my actual final score with everything added in? 21.
21? What about you, DeKath?
21's not bad. 26.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I've only got +9, though.
The three of you are doing quite well. You guys see Flopsy just floundering, not doing anything. Just make a reflex save for me, Flopsy, to make sure that you don't fall on your bottom. This is like when you go ice skating.
The tail is an important part of a tiefling's ability to balance a life, so I can't do it. Doesn't win a reflex save. Is something?
Yes, said? Please.
8.
Okay. At that point, you see Flopsy fall to the floor. Now, there is a slight gradient to this, and as he falls to the floor, he starts sliding down the ice. Can you just make another reflex for me?
Come on, people. It's the easy way to go.
5.
On a 5, he actually speeds himself up.
So,
and he starts sliding off into the distance.
Is he going past us?
Yes, he's
going
past.
So at this point then, Reggie...
He just sort of fell down and he slid straight past you. So before you get a chance to react, he's just boom, straight down.
Go. Oh, shit.
Come quickly.
There goes Flopsy.
This is a good time to get off my...
And you can see you can see Flopsy kind of picking up speed as it gets steeper and steeper and steeper, and then he slides out of view. You just see he's got the light too. Mm-hmm. So you see the light go down the distance into a tube and just disappear out of sight.
Oh.
Well, Reggie's just going to run after him. As I'm running, I'm tying a rope to the bottom of my camera. Because I don't know if this goes off to a cliff somehow.
All right. So you have to move at half speed, which you are with your acrobatics check. So you move half speed for a double move. Are you going to actually try and run?
Yeah.
Okay, make an acrobatics check.
17.
At 17, you kind of see Reggie kind of flounder a little bit on there, but he picks himself up and he keeps moving. So half you kind of get to move one full movement and then a half movement with that speed. What are you two doing? What's Miles and Decath doing?
Miles is going to be like, oh, I can't see a thing as Tippy starts to glow.
Okay. Tell me more.
So Miles is like, oh, I can't see a thing. What's going on? And kind of like taps Tippy to try and see if he can, you know, get anything out of him, like spark again or whatever. And as he does, Tippy kind of like slowly starts to glow kind of like an iridescent copper, kind of like.
Oh, nice.
When he saw Flopsy do it earlier on that stone, it's kind of a similar thing, but Tippy is now glowing.
Light starts to emanate from the shoulder of Miles McCarthy. Decath, what are you going
to
do?
I was about to push him down the slope, but yeah. Actually, yeah, go.
Okay.
Go, my friend.
This is like I'm setting back home.
So this is like that like that Willow moment.
Yep. Give him a good push, so yeah. And then I'll fight.
Okay. And so you, Reggie, see two people slide past you. Going down the chute themselves. And they disappear into the, you see, light glows, leaving you in pitch darkness.
Okay, I'll keep going.
Eventually you get to a point, so you're moving, floundering in the dark. Just make another reflex check for me, please.
Reflex or acrobatics?
A reflex check.
26.
Oh, you did that like it was shit.
Yeah. I rolled a 19, yeah. Just in suspense.
Eventually you yourself get to a part that's so steep that you can't keep your feet under you, and you fall and you start sliding down as well. But for you, this experience is a lot scarier because you can't see where you are going. You can't tell if you're going to hit a wall. You can't see what's going to happen, and you just can't slide down into the darkness. Eventually you see a glow down the bottom and you come to a crashing halt into three other characters, two of which have light attached to them, as you are all shot out of this tube into a little space with a doorway that looks like it's worked stone at the end of it.
Well, that was fun.
I don't know. I did not have my eyes open.
Flopsy, you okay, mate?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 appendages. Yep, all good.
What took you so long? Fez looking at Reggie.
Little legs.
Be careful. There's a weapon attached to a rope coming down.
Interesting. Door.
Where are we?
At the bottom of a slide.
Ah. Where is that?
Well, I don't think it really matters. I mean, we can't go back up, so we've only got one way forward.
Good point. Let's go.
Is there anything interesting on this door? Any writing above
it? It's not a door. It's a worked corridor.
Anything carved into it or anything of note?
So you're going to check? So you start moving towards the corridor?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Get up, start moving towards
it. Start moving into the corridor. It's just worked stone. Somebody has taken the time to take the rough stone here. It's been here for a very, very long time, but you've come into an area that is a worked tunnel.
Is it a similar architecture to the house?
No.
Flopsy, did you see what I did with Tippy? Made him all glowy.
Tippy, Did you do that, or does Tippy have an automatic headlights?
I don't really know, but I said, oh, I wish I could do that trick that you did earlier with that stone. And, like, I tapped him and suddenly,
oh,
poof.
It blew up.
No, he just started glowing.
Oh, right. Okay. Yes. Well done. Yes, well, do you think you did that to the...
I think so. I think I'm starting to get the hang of this.
Another thing that I think you've got some powers that we shall investigate.
I will... Yeah. Oh. It's pretty neat.
Thanks, Jimmy Olsen.
As the kids say these days.
Woke. It's pretty woke. Neat.
Woke is the neat of its day, man.
By gosh, I think you're right. It's neat, all right.
Nice.
Come on, young man.
Decath will start to move down the corridor.
Okay, so yeah, you start moving down the corridor.
Rapier in hand.
Yep. Rapier in hand. Eventually, the corridor comes down. Is everyone following, of course? Yep. What is the marching order of the party right now?
And what's the corridor?
The corridor is about 5 foot wide.
All right. Do you...
Are we moving stealthily?
Do you want to go in front?
Yes.
So, I can shoot over your head.
Reginald Decath, Flopsy Mars?
Well, we'll need to light up the front, right? So, I suppose you could give him the stone or something.
Reginald Decath, Flopsy Mars.
Yeah, Flopsy and Miles would... Okay.
So, Reginald, you push past Decath.
Oh, no, he doesn't push. I would say Reggie and past you go.
Enchanté.
Okay, so Reggie and Decath start moving down. The other two of you follow. Eventually, you get to a point where there's a couple of stairs that lead further down into the complex. It's not a long stairway. It's probably about a 10-foot stairway.
I'll hop Reggie down.
Nice. Let's get to the bottom of the stairs then.
Thanks,
okay.
Dad.
Okay, you get to the bottom of the stairs. Reggie, as the first person that gets in there, you enter a large chamber that's been carved out of the stone a long, long time ago. Roughly 25 feet wide and about 30 foot long, the floor of this chamber is shrouded in mist, a cold mist. A large fountain dominates the center of the chamber, bubbling clear, flowing water. At the far end of the chamber is a door that glistens with ice. It's actually got little sparkles, like, you know, when you see snowflakes, how they kind of glisten and they've got little sparkly, sprinkly bits in them. The door glistens with that type of ice, not a sheet of ice, if that makes sense. And you can see flanking the door two small humanoid ice statues. These statues, one of the statues, the one on the right, has crumbled a little bit, and you can see where it's crumbled. There's a little metal object that's tucked within.
How far behind me is Decath?
Right behind you. Yeah. So it goes you, Decath, then...
Then there's some space in this, these guys, huh?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, Decath, what do you think I missed?
Spooky.
I don't think you missed anything.
I cannot tell. Spooky or romantic.
So I can't see anything else, nothing that is immediately making Reggie nervous or worried.
Do you like fountains?
Yeah, I love fountains.
Then you're fine.
Okay, cool. So I'll start to move towards one of the statues.
Move in.
The statues are at the far end, so we're talking about 30 foot away, the statue. So you have to walk through the mist, past the fountain to get to the door on the other side.
Okay.
And what are the rest of you doing?
Well, I guess we'd be catching up now, around about now. If they moved a little bit further, we'd probably see the...
Trying to spot Reggie in the mist.
I'd follow him in. Decath would stop at the fountain and have a look.
Okay, Decath stops at the fountain and, you know, as you're kind of having a look at the fountain, you see something glint in the very bottom of the fountain. It looks like there's a small ring or a ring-sized ring at the bottom of the fountain.
Thrust my rapier into the water and scoop it.
Okay. As soon as you thrust your rapier into the water, you can see that the rapier, the cold of the water, just comes traveling straight up to the blade, straight into your hand. Make a constitution check for me, please. A fort save.
Yeah, no. That'll be 7.
Oh, at that moment, you guys turn around and you hear this weird sound coming straight out of Decath. And as you turn around, you see him slowly freeze. As ice just starts coming up his shoulder, into his arm, into his chest, into his entire body. And he just is frozen with his rapier straight into the water, just frozen in place there, little icicle dangling off his nose, a little moment where he is just sitting there.
One last cold breath.
Yeah. And at that moment, we're going to leave it there.
That's bullshit.
Why are you giving us the cold shoulder?
Surely you guys can punch him out.
Whoa. Not Reggie. That's groin.
He should be fine. The cold's never bothered him anyway.
Oh, let it go.
Let it go.